for this good day, the sunshine outside. Thank you for the house of God that we can come to and study your word and learn more about you, and that it might change our lives. And we're asking you, Lord, as we hear the teaching and preaching of your word today, that it would impact us and change us and make us what we ought to be. I do pray for Mike Street's family as he's very serious cancer, Lord, and just really a difficult situation. I pray that you would just comfort that family and minister to them at this time. For Wendy Goodman with breast cancer, give the doctors wisdom now as they try to help her. And I do pray for Buddy's son, Josh, as he was burned yesterday. We pray that you would give the doctors wisdom there in Winston-Salem, and that he might recover and just do a mighty work in his life. And then we do think of these, Lord, that have had deaths in the family, the Saltz family, the Kaufman family, the Ford family. We pray that you would minister to them today, comfort their hearts. Do thank you that Brother Kaufman was a believer. He's in heaven today. And just minister to his sons and that family today, we pray. And think of Stephen, who's been shot in the back and is paralyzed as he is in rehab now. Lord, we know you can heal him if it's your desire. And we pray that you might do that, Lord, and do a real work in his life. And then for Bob Cook, as he has knee surgery, Lord, pray that you would touch him and help him as he has this surgery here the next week or so, we pray. Bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you, as I start, is anybody starting the CD back here? Let me start this recording. Please don't leave. I'll be right back, all right? I do want to tell you about Buddy's son. Listen, class. Buddy's son was burned yesterday pretty badly on the job. They were working in Virginia for IRA, and they have a machine called a Georgia buggy, which they use to haul the cement around. And the gas line came loose and sprayed gasoline on his son Josh, and got it on the right side of his face, I think his arm, and somehow that gasoline caught fire. And so he was burned pretty badly, has third degree burns on his face, on his ear, on the right side of his body. And they took him to Winston-Salem to the burn unit there in intensive care. So they have no insurance, and so this is a big thing. Many of you know Buddy Callahan. If you went to Nova Scotia, you met Buddy, so this is tough time. So I did pray for him there, but I wanted to mention that to you. Be praying for him. Obviously, a great burden. He is in Winston-Salem today, obviously, with his son, and we do want to pray for them. I've been teaching through 2 Samuel. We're going to take some time off of that and actually kind of conclude that with the last week's lesson, and we'll be going to 1 Thessalonians here in August. But I want to take a couple of weeks to teach on a special topic that is crucial to your life. In fact, if you don't understand this lesson and the truth of this lesson, you will be a failure as a believer. You'll be a failure as an unbeliever. And the question is this: why are you here? Well, you say, well, my wife made me come this morning. That's not what I mean. Why are you in this world? Now, I've taught on this subject several times, and I think I need to periodically, because if you don't know why you're here, why God put you here, how in the world can you fulfill your purpose? So we're going to take a couple of weeks, and we're just going to kind of introduce it this morning and kind of get you on the road here. But I want you to know that God put you in this earth for a specific reason. Now, obviously, within that reason, we all have different duties, different tasks. But every one of us have put here for a specific reason. Let me just throw it open to you and see what your thoughts are on this before we teach. Why did God put you here? What is your purpose in life? To serve God and tell us about Christ. To praise and honor Him. To bring glory to Him. Anything else?
Run a bus.
To do what?
I said run a bus.
Run a bus. All right. What's that?
Fellowship.
Okay. All right. Any other ideas before we move on? Okay, those are all good. And all of those will fit in, as we'll see as we go along. How many of you have children that have been in a Christian school, or maybe you've homeschooled your children? If they went to Cedar View, they learned the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the first question is, what is man's purpose? What is man's chief end? Let me see if any of you teachers or parents can remember. Man's chief end is to... Very good. That's very good, doctor. That was outstanding. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You must have a photographic memory. That was impressive. Very good. That's exactly right. Now, that's what the catechism says, but is there scriptural proof to back that up? Okay, so here we go. Turn first of all, in fact, don't turn to Isaiah. I'm going to read that one for you. Listen carefully, Isaiah 43:7. By the way, if you're taking notes, we're talking about our purpose. This is the main point, our purpose. And we're going to see the statement of that purpose in the Word of God, all right? Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even every one of you that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." Now, that's a very clear statement. Now, I know he's talking to Israel, but he's also saying, if you're called by my name, I created you for my glory. Now, I'm not going to have you look at the next one either, because you know it probably. 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you've ever been to the Wilds Christian Camp, at every meal they quote this verse. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, here's an all-inclusive command. Now, here in Baptist circles, we don't preach much on eating. We do a lot of it, but we don't preach about it, okay? But the simple matter of fact is, even in our eating, in our speaking, in our thinking, in what we say, in what we do, Paul said we are to bring glory, we are to glorify God. Now, the simple matter of fact is, what Paul is saying is, Lynn works as a surgical assistant or something like that, at John City Medical Center. And at John City Medical Center, your job, sure, you're supposed to give the right tools and do all that stuff and whatever you do, but in the end, your job is to glorify God. Joyce is a real estate agent, and Joyce's job is to sell houses, to be buyers with sellers and get them closed. But you know, that's not her overall purpose. Her overall purpose in all of that is to glorify God. And whatever you do, Rick works in a jail, in a federal prison, as a guard. And his job is to make sure they don't get out and he doesn't get killed. Okay? But you know, that's not your overall purpose. Your overall purpose in that prison is to glorify God. And folks, the simple matter of fact is, every area of your life comes under this. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether you're installing heat pumps or fixing heat pumps, or whether you're putting in windshields, or whether you're working for AEP, or whatever you're doing, folks, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, he says, look, your job is to glorify God. Now, you may be at this point saying, what in the world does that mean? And we'll get to that, but I want you to see the thought. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, again, a familiar passage. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. And it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle to put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," here it is, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, what does it mean when he's talking about light? What does it mean when he says you're the light of the world? Well, there's no doubt the world is in darkness. One of the things I try to do every morning is I get up and go to Yahoo and look at all the liberal news. And I'll tell you one thing, this is a wicked world, and it's getting more wicked all the time. About every day, this state passed this law allowing gay marriage and giving gay rights and all of this stuff and junk going on. And by the way, I've got news for you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We live in a dark world. There is no truth. They are rejecting the truth. As a believer, you have the truth. You have the light. And your job is to spread that light wherever. By the way, what's true about darkness and light? The darker it is, the brighter the light, isn't it? Yeah. And he says, you're the light of the world. And he said, you are to live in such a way that you have good works, you have righteous works, you do the right thing. And as you do that, you're going to bring glory to God. By the way, is he presenting these things as being optional or are they commands? Well, you know, if I feel like it, I'll glorify the Lord. No, look, if you don't glorify the Lord, folks, you have missed God's purpose for your life. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15. We're going to look at a couple more here. Move quickly. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. Romans 15 verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you that you be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go on rabbit trails, but the movement in religion today is you throw out teaching and doctrine and you just love each other. Okay? That's not scriptural. We have unity. Mike Hubbard and I have unity as Mike is like Christ. And if I'm like Christ, guess what happens? We have unity. All right. Now, what comes out of that in the next verse? Verse 5, verse 6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God. So you're glorifying God with two things here. What are they? Your mind, what you think, what you say. In Matthew chapter 5, we were glorifying God with what we did. Is that what you said? Is that what you were thinking? Yeah, sure. Because it was the good works. So he's saying, look, you glorify God everything in your life, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do. Okay? He says, you glorify God with your works. You glorify God with your mind. You glorify God with what you say. All right? A couple more. 1 Corinthians 6. We keep moving to the right and you'll find it real quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body... By the way, let me read that the way Paul meant it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. You don't own yourself. God owns you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now let me ask you a question. Does the Bible clearly teach that our purpose is to glorify God? All right, at this point, you're still wondering, I've missed the boat, okay? I've shown you 5 or 6 verses in Scripture that clearly show our primary purpose in life is to glorify God. Now, secondly, we've seen the statement of our purpose. Let's look at the specifics. Okay, we're still under the purpose, all right? This is letter B, the specifics of our purpose. What does it mean? Here's where the rubber meets the road. What does it mean to glorify? Now, don't say, well, it means to bring glory. Okay? What's that? To please? I heard something over here. Exalt? Promote? Respect? Honor? Reflect? Who said reflect? Nice answer. Reflect? Here, let me give you a definition. By the way, if you don't know what glorify means, can you do it? Okay? All right? Here we go. Here's the definition of glory. Here's a being's glory is the manifestation of someone's essence, attributes, or character. Okay? It is not the thing itself, but it's what characterizes the thing. Let me simplify it. Water. What would be the glory or the characteristic of water?
It'd be wet.
It'd be wet, all right? If it not be wet, it not be water, okay? All right? Y'all get that? All right? What about fire? Fire's hot, okay? If a fire ceases to be hot, it's not fire. Now, we talk about the glory of God, it are the characteristics of God that if he does not have, he is no longer God. Now, also we could talk about glory as being the unique quality of something. Let me throw another one at you. Mount Everest. What is its glory, its unique quality, its attribute? Do I get points? If the music goes off, you're too late. Okay. Right. I heard it over here somewhere. Highest mountain in the world. Highest point in the world. All right. Good. That's his character. Let me, for those of you that are blown away by that one, here's one. Bristol Raceway. Okay. There you go. They advertise it as the fastest half mile in racing. There you go. I knew I could help Bubba out there a little bit. Good. All right. Some of you can relate to that a little more. All right. So these are characteristics. These are the glory of things. Now to glorify, as Damon said, is to give a proper reflection. Now there's another great word, and that is the word to magnify. That's a nice word, because I remember years ago when I was in biology, a lot longer than I'd like to remember. And they would give you a slide with something on it. You look at that slide, you couldn't see anything. To the naked eye, it was invisible. And you put it under the microscope, and you set the resolution, or whatever the word is, and you adjust the focus, and all of a sudden, bang, you see all this stuff in there moving around. Now let me ask you a question. Can you see God? Please don't answer yes, okay? All right. If you think you can, you're in the wrong church, okay? Right. We cannot see God. God is invisible. Now, can the people in the world see God? No. How are they going to know what God's like? Now, here it is, folks. They know what God is like by your life. That's what glorify means. To give a proper reflection, to magnify God. So when Jeff Kruska at FedEx says, I am a believer, I am a Christian, and they watch his life ought to be a proper reflection of God. If I went to the people you work with, if I went to Jersey Mike's to buy a sub sandwich, and I asked the employees, what is David Wampler's God, the owner, what is his God like? It'd be harder to say, you know, what do you want to eat? By the way, Jersey Mike's is great. Just a little plug here, since it's putting you on the spot. Okay, there's one in Bristol. There's two in Bristol, one in Kingsport. There you go. Don't go to the one in Johnson City. He doesn't own that one. All right, go to the other ones. Okay. If people around you, folks, if they get their view of God from your life, what kind of view of God do they have? That's kind of sobering, isn't it? Now, we're going to explain more of that next week. We're just kind of laying the groundwork here. We're talking about magnify. David said in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, think about that. When you are thanking God for what he has done, what are you doing? You're giving a right view of God. You are magnifying him. You are helping to see people to see who God really is. And Paul said in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Listen, whether it be by life or by death. What was Paul's main concern? His health? Long life? He said, look, the most important thing in my life is that I magnify God with my life. That my God, my life makes an invisible God visible to all those around me. He said, that's my job. He said, whether it's in my life or whether it's in my death, it doesn't matter. My purpose is to glorify God and to magnify Him. Now, if we are going to give a proper reflection of God, what must we know? We need to know who God is. Okay? So, that's I'm glad you said that because that's the next point. All right? Let's look at it. We need to know who God is. So, secondly, we're going to see the manifestation of His glory. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And I've got a lot of notes here. I'm going to hustle as much as I can, but if we don't get done today, we'll continue next week and we'll get done when we can. So, we're magnifying God. We're glorifying God. We're reflecting God. All of those things are true. What is God like? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the what? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. What is He saying? He's saying God's creation reveals God's glory. It reveals who God is. And He said it is everywhere. Here's an amazing thought. We're not going to turn to Romans chapter 1. But you know what Romans chapter 1 says? That God has so clearly revealed Himself in creation that if people reject who God is, the God they see in creation, if they reject Him, they are guilty and deserve to go to hell. Now that's a powerful statement. And you, in fact, I'll read the verse to you in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of Him, remember, God is invisible, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And it says, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. There are two things, you see, so that they are without excuse. Now, as we look at creation, what do we learn about the character of God? What's the supreme one that just jumps in your mind? God is powerful. God is powerful. My wife has been gone for 2 weeks to Florida. I was there for a week, and then she stayed. My son-in-law was gone to camp, and she stayed with Sarah. It was Sarah's birthday, and of course, Lily was there. And after 2 weeks, she had a choice, come home to me or stay with my grandchild. And she almost stayed, but she did come back, so we're excited about that. And last night, she's not made sourdough bread for 2 weeks. Of course, she's been gone. And she decided to make some sourdough bread and made some rolls, which we're having at lunch today, about 12:45, if you want to join us there. And I tell you what, folks, you heat those bad boys up and slap some real butter on them and just let them melt. And oh, goodness gracious. No calories either. It's just wonderful. And then to make sure it had some calories, she made some sweet rolls, too, out of sourdough. And I really control myself. I've not had one yet. This afternoon and this evening, I'm sure I'll consume some of those. But you know what's amazing? She got that sourdough starter out of the refrigerator and set it there, and she said, let there be rolls, poof! And man alive, these cooked rolls were right there. Just, it was, you wouldn't believe it. You don't believe it, I hope, okay? And then she wanted to make some sweet rolls. She said, oh boy, let's make some sweet rolls, and let there be sweet rolls, and poof! And these beautiful sweet rolls, steaming. Do you realize? Obviously, it's not possible. But when you look around you at creation, do you realize that's what God did? Now, think about it, folks. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And He created the sun and the stars and the moon and the vegetation and the animals and human beings and the fish and the sea and all of that. And how did He do it? Well, it took Him years and years and years. Well, billions and billions of years ago, right? No, God spoke it, and there it was. Now, folks, that's power. That is power. God is a powerful God. And you look at creation, folks, and it is a clear display of the power of God. Good. What else do we learn from creation about God's character? Order, undoubtedly. And this is part of God's power. God is a God of order, and there's an application to music there too, which I'm not going to go into. But God set it all in motion. What if our orbit around the sun changed just a little bit? We're toast, or we're ice cubes, one of the two. God set it all in order. God is a God of order. Now, don't look at my office right now. You won't believe that, but he really is. How about, what did God say on almost every day of creation? It's good. Now, to have something good, you got to be good to make it. And every day God said, almost every day God said, it's good. And he finished up and he said, it is very good. God is a God that is a good God. How about this one? God is a faithful God. God is a faithful God. You say, Seaman, how in the world is creation? Show us that God is faithful. Listen to Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know what you should say every morning the sun comes up? God's faithful. Every time the seasons change, what can you say? God is faithful. Every time the harvest comes in, what should you say? God is faithful. Every time the sun sets and it gets dark, what do you say? God is faithful. See, folks, God said it was going to happen, and it happens. By the way, anytime God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, okay? God is faithful. And the songwriter said it well. He said, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. And then the chorus says what? Great is thy faithfulness. Let me give you one other one. We see the power of God. We see the goodness of God. Mark mentioned the order of God. We see the faithfulness of God. We also see that God is an all-wise God. Now, they say there are over 200 billion stars in the Milky Way. Now, I don't know who counted, but that's what they say. You know, I don't even know what a billion is, to be honest with you. 200 billion stars. Let me read you a verse. By the way, how'd those stars get there? God put them there. Now, here's a neat verse. Isaiah 40:26. God calleth them all by name. Now think about that. The omniscient God who knows all things. I mean, 200 billion stars. I do well, you know, the northern star. You know, God knows them all by name. And by the way, he keeps them in their course. He is in control of all these things. What a powerful God we see in creation. But that's not the only place we see the glory of God. Now let's stop for a minute and review here. What did we learn about the character of God in creation? God is powerful. By the way, what's the theological word for that? Omnipotent. He has all power. What else? God is, come on class, what else do we learn? Not only is God all powerful, God is? God is the God of order. God is good. God is faithful. God is omniscient. Okay? He knows all things. He's all wise. All right? Now, these things are important because as you live this week, Rachel, your job is to give a reflection of a God who is all powerful, all wise, who is good, who is a God of order. All of these things. A God who is faithful. Okay? All right, let's look in Exodus chapter 33. This is a great verse because Moses comes to God and he says to God in chapter 33 and verse 18, show me thy what? Glory. He said, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your character, your attributes. I want to see who you are. Okay? You see that in verse chapter 33. And verse 18, and Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Verse 19, and he said, God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now we got a problem. If God had come and showed all his glory to Moses, what would happen to Moses? He's a dead man. So God says, all right, Moses, I want you to go stand behind that rock, and I'm going to pass by, and you're going to see my hinder parts. Okay, you're just going to have a brief glimpse of my glory. All right, so let's see what happens in chapter 34, verse 5 through 7. 34, 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. All right, we're about to see the glory of God. Are you ready? Here it is. The Lord God, number one, merciful and gracious. Number two, oh, I like this one. I don't like to do it, but I like it when God is long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and so forth. So we see four or five attributes of God here, don't we? We see the glory of God here, the character of God here, and he starts out with God's mercy and grace. Wow. God's mercy is I don't get what I deserve. God's grace is he gives me a lot of good things I don't deserve. When was the last time you thanked God for his mercy and grace? And by the way, our purpose in life is to reflect God's mercy and grace. See, when I've done something wrong, I want mercy and grace. When my cupboard's done something wrong, I want punishment. Don't look so righteous, okay? God is merciful. Listen to this verse. This is a great verse. Micah 7:8. Who is a God like unto thee? By the way, that goes back to that unique quality like Mount Everest. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Here's the part I like. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. I'll be real honest with you. When somebody asks my forgiveness, it's not like, oh, yes, I'm so excited, Mark. I want to forgive you. Oh, I'm so excited. But God does. He delighteth in mercy. That's his attribute. That's his character. That's his glory. Long suffering. He puts up with a lot. Okay? God has the right as a righteous judge to wipe us out the moment we sin. And yet God is long suffering. Why hasn't Jesus come back? You know, in 1 Peter, the people are saying, well, you know, he doesn't keep his promises and he's not really a righteous, faithful God and all this stuff. And Peter said, no, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is a long-suffering God. By the way, application, my life this week, I am to reflect God. My wife and I were out visiting yesterday, and it was raining. And I got out of the car to make a visit, and standing in the rain. And my wife said, you think we need an umbrella? And I'm standing in the rain, and she's sitting in the car. And then she's doing something else in the car, and I'm thinking, woman! You'll be so proud of me. I didn't say a word. I mean, of course, we've been apart for a week. We need to be long-suffering. It means to be able to put up with a lot. Do you reflect that about God? He says that God is always true. Do you reflect that about God? This is his glory. If God ceases to be true, he will cease to be God. In John chapter 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Whatever God says is true. That's his character. That's his glory. And then it says God is just. What does that mean? It means God does right. In Genesis, when the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abram was kind of dealing with them and trying to get God not to destroy it, he said, will not the God of all the earth do right? A rhetorical question. And the answer is, yes. That is the glory of God. That is the character of God. Now let me hurry and try to give you one more point. Not only do we see the glory of God in creation and in Moses as he saw God that day, we also see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1:14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When Jesus Christ came to this world, he was a picture of God because he is God. In fact, in John chapter 14 and verse 9, it says, Philip said, "Hey, show us the Father. Show us God." And he, what did he say? "You said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus Christ was a proper reflection of God. Why? Because he was God. We talked about this last week. Colossians 2:9. By the way, he is God. "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Jesus Christ is God. When he came to this world, every miracle he did showed the power of God, showed the compassion of God, showed the love of God. When he preached and gave the truth and revealed the character of God, that God is just, he must punish evil. But you know what? Jesus Christ isn't in the world anymore. Now, we still have the Word of God. We still have creation. But you know what? God wants you, and he wants me to reflect the character and the glory of God. Now, we're going to make the application next week. Okay? But I want to remind you folks, this is your purpose. Whether you're working for Kingsport City Schools, or whether you're working for Eastman, you work at Eastman, don't you? No. Domtar, sorry. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say or a good thing to say, but wherever you are, and I tell you, by the way, where's the hardest place to glorify God? Well, work is tough, but at home. Say amen there, Doug. No, don't really. We have marital counseling on Tuesdays. We'll help you there. Look, and we're going to help you a little more next week with this and make the application. But this week I want you to be thinking about what the glory of God is. What is God like? What are the attributes of God? What is the character of God? Now, we've covered some today. There are obviously others. But your job this week, your job today, your overarching purpose in life is to give a proper reflection of who God is. For people to see God in your life. Every time you respond to a problem, to a crisis, to a situation, you're giving a reflection of God. What kind of reflection are you giving? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If I had to form my opinion of the character of God from following your life this week, what would my opinion of God be? If you followed my life this week, would you see a holy God, a righteous God, a loving God, a long-suffering God, a compassionate God, a merciful, gracious God? And we're going to help you a little more next week learning how to do that, exactly why we struggle doing that, and how you can do it in your daily life, okay? All right, Lord, we thank you for who you are. And I know in my words, I cannot properly describe the character of God. Lord, you have called us to reflect you, to magnify you, to glorify you in our lives. And I pray that you would help us this week to give a proper reflection of who God is. May people see a right reflection in our lives this week. Help us to let our light shine. To have good works that you might be glorified in everything we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.